And open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 1 and then Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. We're in a little mini series on comfort and joy. We'll be looking at the Christmas story this morning. This is the Word of God, Luke 1, 1. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the Word that delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. Then over in chapter 2, verse 4, And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them, place for them in the inn. And then down to verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Let's pray. Father, we're so glad this morning that we have before us the very Word of God. Father, it's true and it's certain. And Father, we ask that you help us to understand today what it is you have done to bring us comfort and joy through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning and welcome to Dr. Luke Live, where you get the opportunity to meet and hear firsthand from the people who made Bible history. Our scheduled guest today was Mary of Nazareth, the wife of Joseph and the very mother of Jesus himself. But there are these COVID travel restrictions, so she could not be here. And ordinarily, I'd bring on another guest, but because it's Christmas, and I've already done some rather extensive interviews with Mary and taken detailed notes in preparation for the book that I'm writing, I'll just go to the text and share some of the things Mary told me about her life and experience. First, a little bit about Mary's background. She comes from the village of Nazareth, an obscure place in the backwoods of Galilee. She was raised in a rather poor family, although she could trace her ancestry directly back to King David. Now, if you want to see her eyes sparkle, just mention Joseph. She'll tell you how they played together as young children, how they became good friends, they grew up, that friendship grew and it blossomed into love, and the day came when they were engaged to be married. The word they used back then was that word betrothed. You all don't use it much. Rather formal relationship. It's even a bit more serious than engagement, because to get out of it, you would have to get a divorce. And so she'll tell you she was excited as they were planning their wedding. But then came the day that changed everything. Here's how Mary describes it. It was a rather ordinary day. Mom had asked me to do a few things in the garden behind the house. And there I was when suddenly a complete stranger was standing right in front of me. And he said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." Now, I've got to admit, I was a bit startled. First, we didn't get a lot of strangers in Nazareth. And if they certainly did, they didn't speak like this. I mean, what did he mean? "Oh, favored one." Well, Mary, let me interrupt you a moment. Was this stranger the angel that I've been hearing about? Well, yes, he turned out to be Gabriel. Well, did you realize that from the beginning? No. I mean, would you think that an angel would just show up and talk to you in the backyard? That thought didn't cross my mind till after he said a lot more. And so Mary continued. "I must have looked more than just a little puzzled, quite frankly frightened. And so he said, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, there will be no end.'" I said, "Mary, wow, that's a mouthful. What did you think when he told you all that?" Well, I was overwhelmed. I mean, I knew enough from synagogue and my study of the Bible, especially Isaiah, to realize that this creature was telling me that I would be the mother of Messiah. I would have the baby that every girl since Eve had wanted to have. Great women like Sarah and Hannah, but why me? Of all Jewish women, why me? Why would God choose me? There's only one answer: God's grace. God had simply extended his favor towards me, a poor teenage girl from a tiny Jewish village. No, it's just like when God saves us from our sins, he gives us the gift of eternal life. It's not what we deserve. It's grace. God's favor, his gift. Well, anyway, my mind was racing a million miles a minute trying to take it all in. But one thing kept coming back to me. I mean, how could I have a baby? I was not married. I was a virgin. And that question just popped out of my mouth, and the angel had an answer. Now, I did realize by that time that either I was dreaming or this creature in front of me had to be an angel. So I pinched myself, discovered I was awake, and knew he was an angel. And he told me this: the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. I was stunned. No earthly father? The birth of my child, God's child, would be supernatural? Could not take it in. But I realized I was privileged to be singled out by God for the distinct honor of giving birth to Messiah, and that this would have enormous implications for my life. My only response was to say, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And suddenly the angel disappeared, vanished, and I was left alone to wrestle with what he told me. I was to live the dream of every Jewish girl, but how would that work out? His last words stuck with me: nothing will be impossible with God. You know, as Mary shared that story, I was taken back by her incredible humility. And I interview various people, and they all tell me what a wonderful person Mary is, but that what would always strike you about her was her humility. And certainly Jesus must have learned something about humility from his mother. In fact, when she submitted herself to God's will for her life with those words, "Let it be to me according to your word," found them strangely similar to the submissive humility of Jesus in the garden when he prayed, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." So Mary continued her story. "I did not know where to go. Did not know what to do, what to say. What the angel told me about my cousin Elizabeth, that was incredible. A modern day Sarah. And I thought she'd be somebody I could talk to. I wanted to tell Joseph. I tried. I really did. I just did not know what to say. So next day I told him I was going to see Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah, that she was expecting a baby, and I could be of some help to them. So off I went. Now, when I got there, I went in to greet Elizabeth, and you would not have believed her reaction. She said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed be the fruit of your womb. And why is this that you granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord.'" I mean, it was like somebody had told her everything. As we talk later, we determined somebody had. This is the Holy Spirit. It's an amazing moment. And so we chattered on for days. I told her about my experience, and she told me about hers and Zechariah's. Poor Zechariah, he just sat there, just a silly smile on his face. Remember, he couldn't talk. And can you imagine being stuck in that situation with a couple of pregnant women, swapping their stories about morning sickness and all for 3 months, and you can't say anything? Oh, well, he had written down for Elizabeth everything that had happened to him. And then we realized it was Gabriel, very same angel, who appeared to both of us. And their son, whom they would name John, would get people ready for my son, who would be named Jesus. And he would be the king. John was going to be that voice from Isaiah chapter 40. And I was just sure John would have a great position in Jesus' government one day. You see, God's plan for human history was all coming together. And we were involved. It's so exciting. And I stayed with Zechariah and Elizabeth for nearly 3 months, but as her due date approached and I was beginning to show, we realized there was no way they could really explain an unmarried, pregnant, teenage girl in their house. So I went back to Nazareth. Well, were you ready to tell Joseph? I cannot say that I was ready, but I knew that I had to. Because very soon I couldn't keep it a secret much longer. So good to see him, his eyes, his smile, and his hands. You know, despite his young age, he'd already developed the strong hands of a carpenter. But would he understand? I mean, how could I help him understand? The word of the angel kept echoing in my mind, nothing will be impossible with God. The day I got back to Nazareth, it was nearly evening. I went straight over to Joseph's shop, and looking in the window, I saw him staring intently at a little cradle. I knew he was making that for Reuben and Hannah ben Ezra. Oh, it was beautiful. I could just picture my baby in that beautifully crafted olive wood cradle. But he must have sensed somebody was watching him, and he spun around quickly to see me standing at the window, and he smiled as only he could, and he ran over to hug me, and it was so good to see him. But I knew I had to tell him, Joseph, please sit down. We've got to talk. Sure, I want to hear all about your trip. I'll get to that, but there's something else you need to know and understand. Okay, Mary, what is it? What's wrong? Joseph. And I took him by the hand and I looked him directly into his eyes. Please listen to me very carefully. Joseph, it's not what you think, but I'm pregnant. And then Mary was silent. Her mind traveled back in time and her eyes glistened with tears. You could not imagine the pain in his eyes. He turned pale and he had this far-off look, and he muttered, why, Mary? How could you? We're betrothed. Why? And he got up and he began to pace, and I said, Joseph, you got to trust me. I've never been. He cut me off. Yeah, sure. And he left the shop, and he went out into the street. And I called out, please, Joseph, let me explain. But he wasn't listening. Through my tears, I watched till he was out of sight. I told Mary that must have been an awful moment. I asked, you know, when he left, I mean, what was on your mind? She responded, well, first, let me stop and say, I know a lot of people struggle with the idea of a virgin birth, just like Joseph, because they know biology and they know virgins do not conceive and give birth to children. And here's a bit of news. Nobody's ever believed in virgin births. That's the reason when I told Joseph, he did not give me a high five and say joy to the world. Instead, he was ready to get rid of me because of what he presumed I'd done. People know how babies are conceived. They knew it 2,000 years ago in Nazareth, not just learn it the last 200 years. And I have to admit, I was scared. I'd never felt so alone. I mean, what was I going to do if Joseph divorced me? What would become of me and my baby? How could I convince him? It was a pretty remarkable story to tell anyone and expect them to believe it. I had to admit, but the thought kept coming back to me. Nothing will be impossible with God. I knew God could convince Joseph, But I knew if not, God, since this was His baby, would take care of me. Now, I was not sure how, but I had to trust Him. There was no other alternative for me. So I walked slowly home as dusk turned to night. No stars were shining in that cloud-covered sky. And all night I found myself staring at the ceiling, wide awake, wondering how could I convince Joseph? Sleep never came. The minutes passed like hours. And at the first hint of dawn, I got up and I went outside, just walking aimlessly, not knowing where I was going. Then my eyes caught in the distance a figure moving. And I realized it was somebody that was running. And they were running towards me. And though it was still more dark than light, I knew it was Joseph. And he came up. He was breathless, but his eyes alive with excitement. And this was a definite change from the evening before. And I said, "Joseph, please let me explain." But he interrupted, "Mary, my dear sweet Mary, there's nothing to explain. God already did." "Did what?" "Told me about the baby." "How?" "Well, last night I was so restless, tossing and turning, trying to decide what to do, feeling sorry for myself, hurt, angry, disappointed. Then I must have drifted off. I started to dream, and it was so vivid. It was so real. There was an angel, and he said to stop being afraid to go through with the marriage. You'd been faithful, and the child you're carrying is Messiah, the Savior. He gave me the name." "Was it Jesus?" "Sure was. How did you know?" "That's the same name the angel gave me." "Mary, what will this mean for us and for him?" Dr. Luke, that question of Joseph's came back to us again and again as our lives began to take just a series of bizarre twists and turns. First, we decided it would be best to go ahead and get married, even though we'd remain virgins till after the child was born. Plus, we knew what the grapevine in a small town would be saying about us. Now, very little was said to me directly, but, you know, it was the disapproving looks, the stares, the whispers of people, the snide comments to our families. They really hurt. Even when Jesus was born, there were rumors swirled about the circumstances of his birth, and his enemies made crude remarks. Got to be that I just hated to go out of the house. Well, how did your parents respond? Tears once again filled Mary's eyes as she bit her lip and just shook her head. And she regained her composure. There was another problem we had too that compounded the reason nobody would ever believe us. We both knew, everybody pretty much knew that the prophet Micah had predicted that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, in the town of our greatest king, David. And we lived in Nazareth. We didn't know quite what to make of that until the day came of the census tax announcement and it was posted in order to require people to go to the home of their ancestors. And for us, that was David, city Bethlehem. Remember, nothing will be impossible with God. God takes care of all the details. And actually, though it meant we had to pay taxes, the order came as a relief because it took us away from the ridicule to a place where nobody knew us. It truly was a special gift from God. Of course, the timing was another matter. I was getting further along my pregnancy, yet Joseph had some more orders he had to fill in there at his carpentry shop, and we needed the money for the taxes and the trip. And finally finished, and off we went, 90-mile journey, long, hard, 4-day trip on a donkey. All I could think about was getting to bed as soon as we got to Bethlehem. The city itself, pretty small in those days. And with the families gathered there, with the Romans officials present for the census, it was a very crowded town. We arrived in the late afternoon. I remember I was so tired. But there was no room for us anywhere with anybody. Oh, it was so awful. All I could do was cry. And poor Joseph, he tried so hard to get us a room. Well, what did you do? Well, an innkeeper saw my condition and said he'd have a room in a day or so, and that for no charge we could stay in the stable until then, since we could not find anything else. And with night falling and a chill in the air, we gladly accepted his offer. Believe me, a stable with hay never looked so good. And we'd been resting for about an hour when the contractions began, and I knew it was time. So when Jesus was born, when Emmanuel arrived, it was just Joseph and me and a few animals. That was it. No band of angels that we could see. Perhaps they were nearby. Joseph had taken one of the mangers, feeding trough, put a little straw in it, put a blanket in it, made it a little crib. And I wrapped Jesus up very tightly, placed him in the manger. I must have fallen asleep pretty quickly, Joseph too, because both of us were startled when we heard voices. And I looked up, and there looking into the stable was a group of ragged shepherds. Joseph jumped up and got between us. And then one of them said, "Please, please, don't be afraid. We've only come to see the baby born tonight." "How did you know about a baby?" Joseph asked. "Sir, you're not going to believe this, but we had an angel come and tell us that right here in Bethlehem, we'd find Messiah. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And we'd find him, oddly enough, in a manger. And it's just like the angel said." Joseph and I exchanged knowing glances, and he invited the shepherds to come on in, and they proceeded to tell us about the story, about their night, and about the whole sky being filled with angels singing about the birth of our baby. I mean, it was incredible. Then one of them, an older shepherd, asked if he could hold the baby. I looked at him. He was filthy. He was smelly. His skin like rugged leather from working outside so many years. His hands dry and chapped. Desperate need of washing. And he reached out those hands to take hold of my newborn baby. And everything inside of me screamed no, but my mouth said yes. And he took the baby in those hands that were so rough, so dirty. The other shepherds, perhaps a little jealous, gathered around, and I couldn't even see Jesus. And Joseph, he sensed my anxiety, took my hand and squeezed it to reassure me. And then they began to pass my baby around, each taking his turn. And all I could do was watch and wonder. And remember the words of the angel, "You will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And here he is, a king. Yet he's born in a stable. Son of the Most High. And he's being passed around by a bunch of shepherds whom God chose to specially witness the event. It's a moment forever fixed in my heart. Then the shepherds left, and once again Joseph, the baby and I were left alone as the final rays of dawn became visible in the distant horizon. Now we couldn't begin to imagine at that point all that was to come. We didn't comprehend all that it meant for Jesus to be Messiah. Those early morning hours, we did not know what God's providence had in store for us and for him. Joseph fell back asleep, and I was left alone to ponder the thoughts of my heart. I could see this was not going to be easy. Now, I was so reluctant to let those shepherds hold my baby, yet I thought about the words of the angels to them. "I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all the people, for unto you, unto those shepherds, is born a Savior." And I realized if I was reluctant to allow them to hold him in their arms, think how it was for God to allow me to hold him. To carry a son for 9 months and now to hold his son in my arms. Well, compared to the holiness of heaven, I was far dirtier than those shepherds. Yet there he was before me, Emmanuel. Yet he could not talk or walk or feed himself. He had 10 tiny fingers and 10 tiny toes. He was a baby. He was my baby, absolutely dependent on me and Joseph. And God entrusted us with the task of caring and raising his son. How would we do it? How could we possibly do it? He was my baby, yet he was the world's baby. How could I cope with that? I had to remind myself again what Gabriel said. Nothing will be impossible with God. In my heart I pondered a king, yet an infant, the son of God, yet my son, the throne of David, and yet a feeding trough, a manger. What did it mean? What did it all mean? At that point, Mary grew very quiet. And I could tell she was thinking about something else. And tears came to her eyes. And she said, "I'm sorry, Dr. Luke, my mind jumped way ahead in the story. 33 years to the time of the cross. Because as I stood there that awful day and watched as they took my son and they nailed him to the cross, in those awful hours, my mind went back to Bethlehem. And I remembered his birth. And I remembered the shepherds. And it all came back to me, and I realized what it all meant. My baby, God's baby, was a Savior. And he had to die. He had to die for me because of my sin. And the sins of all his people, because they're sinners too. That's why he'd come. That's the answer to the question. What does it all mean?" Friends, let me stop there. Out of time for today's show, but Mary's question is why I'm writing this book. That's why I'm checking everything out in detail, because you need to ask yourselves, what does it mean that on Christmas, the God of the universe came as a baby, a helpless little baby who was destined to die on a cross? So until next time, I'm Dr. Luke. Thanks for tuning in. Please join me again next week. My guest will be Theophilus, the man who prompted me to write this book. But have a good day, and oh yes, a Mary, M-A-R-Y, Christmas. So what about us? Now, what's a Merry Christmas for us? Merry Christmas is pondering that God so loved the world that the infinite, eternal God became Emmanuel, God with us. That he came as a helpless babe to be our Savior, was placed in a manger. Seeing the story of the manger as a magnet that draws it to him, because it's the declaration of his love. In that manger in Bethlehem, we find God's gift to us this Christmas. A Savior who kept his promise to Abraham to come and die for us. Jesus is the gift God wants you to have today. You know, Martin Luther once said that the greatest miracle was not that Mary conceived, but rather that she believed what the angel told her. So do you believe? Have you received the gift? Have you admitted that you're a sinner like Mary who needs a Savior? If not, may this Christmas be the time for us all to realize that what the angel said is true. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. For us who are believers, a Merry Christmas draws us with its grace and humility. It's Mary receiving God's grace. It's us receiving God's grace. It's a story of humility, the humility of Jesus, the humility of Mary, the humility that we should have. And Merry Christmas draws with the songs of worship, the songs the angels sang and the song that Mary sang, rejoicing what God's done for us. And Merry Christmas is believing God's word is true. From Nazareth to Bethlehem to the cross to the promise that he's coming again. Merry Christmas brings us comfort and joy in a world that's today so weary of conflict, sickness, and death. This week, may we keep all these things in our hearts, believe them, ponder them, marvel at them, be comforted by them, rejoice in them. See, that's a Merry, M-A-R-Y, Christmas. And my wishes for each of you is a very Merry Christmas. Father, we thank you for the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, in a weary world, Father, there's no better news today. Father, the news of Jesus is better than any other news. Lord, it's better than a vaccine. Because, Father, the gospel saves us forever. So, Lord, our prayer is that each person here knows the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. Each person listening to this at home knows the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. And if not, today would be the day they would come to know Him and receive the gift of eternal life. And Father, may you help each of us who are already believers indeed have a very merry Christmas. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.